have your Bibles.
Turn to Revelation chapter number 4. We're going to flip through a couple different places. In Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 10, it says, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Flip over to chapter number 7 and verse number 9. The word of God says, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountain of waters. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes." Flip over to chapter number 21. In verse number 1 of chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We are looking for just a few minutes of time to give you a few thoughts that the Lord's laid on our heart. And normally, when the pastor gives me an opportunity to preach next to holiday, it's not anything pertaining to it. But this time, God's geared me towards having that thankful heart towards him. And I believe that's because in the world that we live in, and it is no longer a priority to be thankful for anything. Everything nowadays is based out of what I can do to achieve something within myself. It's about the greatness of my name, what I've accomplished, the riches that I've obtained in this life on my own. And that's the world that we live in, the nation that we live in. But the sad part of that is it's coming into the house of God. There are men of God, or proclaimed men of God, that stand behind the pulpit and preach the word of God, if that's what you can call it. And they are there to make a name for themselves. They're there to draw a paycheck. They don't care about the moving of God. They don't care about the touch of God, the hand of God, and any what. Same in the congregation. There are people there to be seen, people there to make a name for themselves. It's no longer a priority to serve God and to thank God. You say, how are you so sure of that? If you read over in Psalms chapter number 26, there's a few verses in there talking about thankfulness and what it will do for us. And one of the things it mentions is it'll make us want to get to the house of God to worship God. And getting to the house of God is not a priority for Christians nowadays. This virus has been a good excuse for many that are able to be at the house of God, but it's a good excuse for them to be out. It's the day and age in which we live of everything's about me instead of about God. As a child of God, we've got to be careful about that aspect. When I go to thinking about how I need to thank God, I think of how short I've come time and time again in my thankfulness unto Him. You know, I can stand in the church on Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night and say, I thank God for saving me. I thank God for His mercy and grace upon me. And mean it when I say it then. But that thankfulness goes a lot further than that. It's a lifestyle that you and I would live so this world would know that we're proclaiming His greatness through the life that we live. How many times on Monday has somebody known that I'm thankful for everything that He's done for me because of my lifestyle? You know, it goes a lot farther than just right in here and what we say. It's an easy thing to say I'm thankful, but it's a harder thing to show that you're thankful unto God with the life that you're living. When I begin to think about what all God's done for me, the first thing I think about is the cross of Calvary. That's what my mind goes back to. John refers to it a few times in just a few verses that we read in the book of Revelations. It's all about the blood of Christ. That's what it's about. And we've fallen short on thanking God for that. That's where it starts for the child of God. That's where it started for me when the Lord saved me, showed me I was lost. I deserved hell, but because of Him, I'm going to inherit heaven one of these days. Still yet, I fall short on thanking Him for that. You say, why? Because I've not grasped the reality of what has taken place on the cross of Calvary. I don't fully understand what all He had to go through. I don't fully understand what it was when He took the beatings. I don't understand the pain and agony that He had to go through. And I belittle that within myself. I don't understand what it's like to know what separation from God is, what He had to endure on that cross. But still yet, you know, I can stand and say, I thank God for saving me, but it doesn't ring a bell. It doesn't register truly what all He went through on that cross of Calvary. If that would register to you and I, there would be a burning desire and a zeal about us to serve God from now on. I want to tell you, we fall short as Christians on thanking Him. But not only that, when I think about thanking God, my mind always gets back to the book of Revelations. You know, it looks a lot towards the future, but when they're in the future, they're looking back at what God's already done for them. And John writes about that in the few different sections that we've read. Revelations has a lot that ought to make you shiver with uneasiness of not knowing what's going to happen, but the church is not going to endure any of those judgments. But it ought to hold some truths that ought to make us thank God for what He's done. In chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, the 24 elders fell down before Him and sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, most people look at chapter 4 and the well-known verses up there in verse number 8, where it talks about the beast flying around the throne of God and crying out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's the verse that everybody thinks about. But you get down in these two verses, and the 24 elders are falling down before God, casting their crowns at His feet and worshiping Him. And it's not a worship because of redemption. It's not a worship because of mercy and grace being bestowed upon them. It's not worship because of blessings, but it is worship because of creation, just as the beings were. How many times have I just thanked God for creating me? That's probably not been a priority in my life. How many times have I woke up and said, God, I thank You for giving me another day. I thank You for giving me the opportunity as You created me to be a vessel that You can use. Oh, we've fallen short on thanking God for the little bitty things. And those have amounted to us not having a thankful heart to God. He starts with thanking Him for the creation. But then He goes on and He says, for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, a lot of times in my life, it's easy to thank God when I'm on the mountaintop, and it's easy to thank God when everything's going good and everything seems like it's right in my eyes. But there are times in our life, and every one of us has faced it, that our world turns upside down. We're going to face the darkest valley we ever walked through. We're going to face one of the hardest trials we've ever been in. Face a sickness that seems like we're not going to overcome. And we get to that point in our life and our questions begin to arise. And it's about, God, why is this happening? And it's no longer about thanking God for things that He's put inside of your life. But if you read verse number 11, the elders right here are praising Him because He has put things in their life, even that because they are a vessel to be used of God to bring honor and glory to His name. That trial's by no accident. The valleys are by no accident. The sickness is by no accident. But in verse number 11 it says, "For Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure." He's created us to be a vessel that He can use to bring honor and glory to His name. It's not for me to understand why I face things in life. It's not for me to try to reason out why I go through some of the trials that I have to endure in life, or some of the things it seems like putting me under and I'm not going to come back up. I don't have to understand that. All I've got to know is that God has a purpose, and that God has a plan for me to be a vessel, to be used of Him, to bring honor and glory to His name. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, in the midst of that trial, these elders right here are saying we ought to be praising God for what He's putting us through, and saying that God would get all the honor and glory out of everything that we would face in this life. A lot easier said than done. How many times have I faced a dark trial or something in my life, whether anybody knew it or not, and I'm going through it, and it seems like a struggle to me spiritually. How many times have I said, God, I thank You for what I'm going through. I ain't done that. Don't know that I can honestly say that I thank God for the darkest times in my life. But they're saying here, we got to have a thankful heart unto God that He would see fit to put that in your life and use you as a vessel to be a light to a lost and a dying world, to be a help to other Christians inside of the church. There are people inside of the house of God. I've seen them go through things and I've seen how they've handled it. And that heart, they can still stand up and thank God in the midst of what they're going through. You say, what's that do? That encourages me to keep going on. Keep pressing on for the cause of Christ. Our thankful heart makes a difference on the way that we would serve God and the way that others around us would serve God. But then he would go on in chapter number 7. The first part of this chapter, it's talking about the remnant of the 12,000 from the 12 tribes, 144,000. And then it's talking about the remnant of the Gentiles that's going to be called out. This is after the rapture's taken place. This is not us, but it gives us an insight as to what's going to be taking place inside of heaven. In verse number 9, it says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, of which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Verse number 9, right off the bat, I go to the white robes here. Where when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about the battle scars that we had down here. That's relating back to chapter number 4 and the verses that we just read. It's not about the trials that I had to endure, but it's about the Savior that's bringing me through the trial on the other side. I want to tell you, we're going to make it out. Whether you do it down here or whether you do it on life's other side, He is worthy for praise and honor and glory to come from you and I. But he would go on as he's talking about this remnant that's been pulled out. Verse number 12. It says, saying, "Amen, blessings and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever." You say, what's taking place here? What's taking place here is what's going to be in heaven through all eternity. It's a thankfulness unto God. But they're not looking forward in heaven and saying, I'm thanking Him for what's to come. They're looking back on things that they've had and things that have arose in their life or things that they've encountered, and they're thanking God for it. Same could apply to you and I. First of all, they're thanking Him for the blessings. How many times this past week have we just stopped and thanked God for the many blessings that He's bestowed upon us? The house that we have to live in, the clothes that are on our back, the vehicles that we drive, the money that's in our pocket, I want to tell you the food that's on our table. We have got it good today. But still yet, we take it for granted. We take for granted what He does for you and I. Not only the blessings. When I think about blessings, I think about mercy and grace. Stuff being given to you and I that we don't deserve. But still yet, He issues it out on a daily basis. New grace for every day and for everything that I could encounter. He goes on and they're thanking Him for His glory. You and I can thank Him for His glory because of what we've seen down here in this walk of life and the majesty that we've seen, whether it's through reading the Word of God or whether it's through God getting alone with us in our own secret little place and Him revealing things unto you and I. We see His glory and His majesty, but it says His wisdom. You and I don't understand, as I've already said, some of the things that we go through, but they're praising Him. They're looking back on those trials. They're looking back on those valleys that they've had to go through, those sicknesses that they had to endure in this life. And they're saying, Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom. They're looking at Him and they're thanking Him for His honor that He's got. They're thanking Him for the power and the might that He's got to be in control. I want to tell you, how many times do we stop on a daily basis and just thank God? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it, but how many times do I actually do it in my life? Oh, we've fallen and come short. I'm going to tell you, my desire to serve Him would be a lot more if I was to be thanking Him right. My desire to be at the house of God would be a lot stronger if I was thanking Him right. I want to tell you, everything in my life would be a whole lot smoother, spiritually speaking, if I was thanking Him right and praising Him right. I want to tell you, we've lost the foundation as churches of thanking God. And that's why churches are falling apart. He goes on down in these verses. In verse number 15, He says, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sitteth on the throne. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. If you read over in Psalms chapter number 26, in those verses, it refers to the same thing, but in this life. Those that are thankful unto God have a constant dwelling with God. Whether they're at the house of God or whether they're at home, whether they're driving down the road, wherever, if they're at work, wherever they may be, they're in fellowship with God. They're with God. They're constantly relying on the Lord. You know the people that I'm talking about. Every time you see them, you encounter them, they're bragging on God. Are we that kind of Christian? Are we the kind that is thankful to the point where everybody that we encounter knows that He is worthy of our praise, honor, and glory? But He says, when we're thankful, it refers to this over in Psalms 26 as well, and no more hunger or no more thirst. It's talking about feeding us spiritually. A lot of Christians ain't what they need to be because they're starved out. They're starved out Christians. They're not getting what they need to. You say, why is that happening? The heart of thanksgiving's left. They don't see the point in praising God. They don't see the point in thanking God for what He's done for them and their lives. But then we get over to chapter number 21 of Revelations in the first few verses. It starts out and it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And He shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There's neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We look in these verses, and this is a thankfulness of seeing what is to come for the child of God. I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when something bothers me and I'm calling out upon God, the mindset would change in the midst of a prayer. I could start out with the problem, but you always end up thanking God, it seems like, at the end of it. You say, why? Because when you get a hold of God, He always is bigger than the problem that you have. And then it gets to the point of looking ahead to some things and having to thank Him for things that is to come. And that's what John's talking about in these verses. He's talking about a new heaven and a new earth. A new Jerusalem that's coming down in verse number 2. He says it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about it's been made ready. That being made ready, it's going to take some time, but it's going to come to pass. For the child of God, that means it's just a little bit longer, and it's all going to be over for you and I. We can thank God that we're not going to have to endure everything in this world for all eternity. He would go on in the verses. In verse number 4, John begins to name off some things that you and I will no longer have to endure. No more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. None of the things that seem to plague our lives down here is going to be in heaven. That's all going to be cast away from you and I. I should be thanking God for those things that is to come in our future. But the verse that I like is verse number 6 right here when it says, "And He said unto me, it is done." You say, what happened in that verse? It takes me all the way back to Calvary when everything was settled. When He died on the cross of Calvary and the blood was shed, He become the Alpha and Omega. He is the start of my salvation, and He's going to keep me all the way to the end of things. When I bowed down and I asked Him to come into my heart, things changed there. That was the start of my life, spiritually speaking. And I'm safe for all eternity with Him. There's no end to His love. The verse number 7 says that He'll be our God and we'll be His Son. You say, what's He saying? The same thing that He says in the latter part of verse number 5 that's mentioned as He is going into the battle of Armageddon. He is true and faithful. He's a God that's never going to leave us, that's never going to forsake us, that's never going to forget about us. He's not going to lose us. He's not going to lose our salvation. We're secure for all eternity. I want to tell you, but still yet, we don't thank Him like we should. I want to tell you, we've lost the concept of what all He's really done for you and I. I'll be honest with you, and maybe I just ain't as good as the rest of you. I don't think about the cross like I ought to. I don't remember it like I should. Oh, it's an easy thing to dwell upon inside the house of God. It's an easy thing for me to get inside the house of God and worship Him. It's an easy thing for my heart to be right here and be in remembrance of everything that He's done for me. But what about when I'm out there and I'm facing something in this walk of life and it seems like my world's turning upside down? Can I still thank Him? Or do I still thank Him? And I'll tell you, we as Christians have fallen short time and time and time again. If we're ever going to get close to God as a church, first of all, we're going to have to remember the things that He's done for us. If we're ever going to draw nigh unto Him, I hope something that was said this evening will be a help and a blessing unto you. Has anybody got a testimony or word on their heart? If not, we'll stand. I'll ask Ronnie if you would dismiss us.